Going Linux, episode 475, listener feedback.
No viruses, no fuss, just simple and clean. Going Linux, it's the ultimate dream. Forget the crashes and the constant lag with open source. You're never gonna sag.
Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Bill.
Whether you are new to Linux, upgrading from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about moving to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux.
We hope that you find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and open source applications and using them to get things done.
If you want to send us feedback, you can email us at goinglinux@gmail.com, or you can send us a voicemail at 1-904-468-7889.
In today's episode, listener feedback.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Larry. When this one comes out, it's going to be the New Year, so Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. So how was your New Year celebration? Oh, well, we haven't done that yet. Okay.
It's not New Year's, really. It's just this is when it's going to come out.
But it's one of those time-shifting episodes.
Yeah, so basically, I can tell you what my future holds for New Year's. I'll be at home with the two dogs watching. No, I won't be watching. I'll be in bed because I got to go to work the next day. So I'll go to bed. I don't. It's like you watch the ball fall once. You've seen it for the rest of your life. I know. So yeah, I'll be home and I'll be going. I'll be in bed probably right at about 10:30.
Yep.
I live such an exciting life.
Yeah, and for those of you not familiar with the time zones in the United States, the reason that Bill can get to bed at 10:30, even though the ball drops in New York City at 12 midnight, is he's closer to the West Coast than he is to the East Coast, and so the time works in his favor there.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't care if it drops anyway. It's like, let's see, go to bed or watch a big ball fall. Oh, I'm going to bed. When at 5 o'clock in the morning comes awful early without no sleep. So between that and having to go to work, it's like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's been a while since we've recorded an episode.
It has.
And we've got a lot of feedback, partly because we asked a question and asked for some feedback on some specific things, like audio formats and other things. So we've got some of that, and we're looking for more. So please continue to give us feedback on that. But any feedback you want to give us is great. Our first feedback is from Jack Death, Troy, who says, "Hi, guys. I just got done listening to the latest listener feedback episode, and this totally unpacked a few things. So I want to give you some feedback and hopefully a few answers to things mentioned in this episode while they are fresh in my mind. The first thing I will point out is that normally, at least for me, the audio seems very unbalanced between the two of you. Larry, your voice typically comes across very clear with nice, deep, rich tones. Bill usually sounds very high, overly sharp, and tinny." Well, Troy, that's just our voices. No, sorry, continuing on. "I have to turn down the volume while listening in my car to hear Larry normally, but then Bill sounds way too loud and almost piercing, especially when saying words that start or end with S, like this or super. The S sound is almost painful at a higher volume. I don't know if this is simply a difference in what mic you each use or the recording method you use separately, or if it's an editing thing. However, I don't know what changed during this episode, and maybe this has something to do with the audio issues you mentioned at the beginning, but now you both sounded like Bill normally sounds. It's almost like you recorded in a cave." Okay, I'm going to pause here. This is not the end of his email, but it's not even a quarter of the way through. But just to comment on that, I have been, up until this episode, for the past few months, I've been recording on a portable recorder, and not in a cave, but in an empty room. And so that's why the sound quality hasn't been great. And Bill, any comments on yours? I know you had an underwhelming microphone when we first started recording, but you have upgraded that since. Any thoughts?
I think it's just the way I come across on recordings. It just depends on, I don't know. I mean, nothing's really changed, but we've heard this comment before. I think it's just that our voices are different. And sometimes it's hard to match, because I have, I guess, a sharper voice. But one thing that most people don't know, and I'll tell you because I'm not ashamed of it, I have a speech impediment, if you hadn't figured that one out already. Certain things are harder for me to say. So, yes, I'm sorry that it's painful, and I'll work on that, but unfortunately, there's not much I can do. I could try a different mic, maybe. I could try maybe adding a pop filter on top of it, but normally I use a headset mic because the room I record in is not used for much else except that. And so I will try to see about maybe looking into a different mic, maybe. But the one the headset I'm using right now is not, it's, if I remember correctly, it's not the top of the line Logitech, but it's the one right below it. I can't remember what model it was. I bought it about a year ago. But I appreciate the feedback.
Yeah, and I think part of it as well is that I have, over the years, adjusted the final volume of the audio signal. I try to make it equal between the two of us, when I'm listening to it at least. And I know it comes across differently in different speakers. And I think adjusting the final, you know, the volume that it actually gets published as, I've increased it a little bit. So maybe that's why it sounds a bit loud. And the reason I increased it is the standard for podcasts changed a little bit. And so I was trying to match that. I can back it off again, maybe 3 dB, back to where I used to record it, if that makes a big difference to people. I really hate to have you have to adjust the volume, anybody have to adjust the volume in their podcast player. So if we can get some feedback on that, is it too loud? I will not adjust this episode. I'll do what I've been doing for the past few, but you should notice a little difference on my audio. So I'm not quite so tinny. And I know that headset mics tend to be a little bit tinnier than, you know, studio mics. I wouldn't call this a studio mic, but it is a little more, it's the kind of microphone that somebody might use in a bar when playing music, you know, when you know, a band might use, that sort of thing. So that's that. The other thing is, I've tried to make Bill's audio track a little less tinny by adding some bass to it from time to time. I haven't really noticed too much of an actual difference there. And Audacity doesn't give you too much leeway to adjust that kind of thing in the sound quality. But if anybody else using Audacity knows one of the effects that might help, please send us that as well, and I'll give that a try and see if that makes a difference. So continuing on with our first email here, my second bit of feedback is in response to you asking about recording episodes in a second format other than MP3. Well, I've taken to listening to your episodes using Spotify So the audio format to me is kind of moot point. However, I really do miss the Computer America episodes and the ability to actually see the subjects who are talking and maybe even see shots of the desktop and what people are talking about. As a secondary format, I would really love to see a video cast of the show as you guys are discussing things. Not only can we see your expressions as you talk about stuff, but you could then also show your desktop as you discuss subject matter. You don't necessarily have to use YouTube, but I think Rumble would be a great platform to have this. Then you could join the likes of Switched to Linux and others. While the main Rumble video platform is not an open source project in and of itself, the company uses and purposes open source technologies and policies. Rumble Cloud, a public cloud service, is built on open source infrastructure, and the company has proposed an open source content moderation policy. There are also smaller applications related to Rumble, like Rumble's Recog tool, that are open source. If you don't already have a good webcam, I highly recommend the Logitech C920 or C922. It's not their most expensive and it's not their cheapest, but it is one of their best quality webcams using Carl Zeiss glass and stereo microphone array with excellent audio quality. Just having this might help Bill with his audio issues. Best thing is, it works great with Linux out of the box.
Continuing, in relation to Jim's comments about printers for Linux, I don't know what model of HP printer he got, but all the printers you buy from HP will now require the user to initially configure it using the HP Smart app. Since they do not currently make a Linux version of this, I recommend using the app from your smartphone to initially set up the printer and get it connected to Wi-Fi. Once it's connected to Wi-Fi, Linux, at least Linux Mint, may automatically see it and install it like usual. However, there are some models where this may not install automatically. In this case, try using the HP LIP as Larry mentioned. However, there are some newer models of HP printers that may not install easily using the HP LIP that comes with your particular distro. Even if you have the latest Mint 22.2, in this case you may need to manually download and install the latest version of the HP LIP from their website and try it that way. I don't think he needs to go with another manufacturer necessarily. Canon and Epson tend to be the most expensive to operate. I usually recommend HP, or if you really don't want HP, then Brother. The last thing is more of a question for you, Larry. You talked about the troubles you're having with your web hosts. I'm just kind of curious who you're using. Also, have you ever considered simply running your own web server? It should not be that difficult to do. Also, if you want a good, easy-to-use control panel, you don't even need to pay for things like cPanel. You could just build a cloud panel server, which must be installed on Ubuntu, and run your site using WordPress. If your ISP doesn't give you a static IP, just use a free dynamic DNS like Duck DNS. If you need naked domain redirections, so someone typing www.mywebsite.com can get to your website as opposed to the mywebsite.com.
www.iser.
Oh, www.iser to take care of that. It's also free. I host multiple websites for customers on my web server using this method, and it worked quite well. Thanks again for another great episode, Troy, a.k.a. Jack Durth.
Thank you, Troy. And thanks for all those suggestions. That's great.
Yep.
Yeah, about the web host. So the hosting is from Site5, S-I-T-E, and then the number 5. And I've used them for a long time, but prices have been increasing and increasing and increasing. So I'm looking for alternatives. I really don't want to host my own. Even though these days it's not as much trouble as it used to be, I don't want to do that. So for a number of reasons, but thanks for the suggestion. And you'll see as we listen to the rest of this episode, and we've gotten a number of suggestions on that.
Yeah. So I want to point out one thing. I appreciate the idea of the video idea, but I'm telling you now, that's not going to happen on my end. It's just not. We do this for fun, and to actually then have to edit audio and video, we have enough going on, in my opinion, and Larry might, Larry's the ultimate authority on this, but in my case, no, I'm not going to do video on top of audio, but that's just me. I have my own reasons for that, and I'm not comfortable doing that, but I appreciate the idea.
Yeah, and I don't mind doing video. It just takes so long to do the editing. It takes significantly longer than doing just audio. And we already have enough gaps in between our episodes as it is. Now, if I weren't working and Bill weren't working, maybe we'd have time for it. But
yeah, I barely have time.
Yeah. Anyway, and as far as Computer America goes, I wasn't doing the editing for those, so that wasn't, any hassle for me at all. And so Craig Crossman was doing all the work, or whoever he had doing it for him, and I just had to show up, provide the topics, and have the conversation, which is great. I guess Computer America is still on the air. I'm not sure, but it certainly has changed for the number of years that Craig has not been the host. And it's switched from being a computer focused to a gaming focused. And I haven't even checked to find out what it is now. But if you want to see those old episodes, the Wayback Machine or links from our website give you some window into what I looked like, 10 years ago, whenever it was. Anyway, moving on. Pierre provided feedback on our proposed audio format change. In listening to the latest episode on the audio feedback, I find that we too have gone through this here at KOTZ radio station. For years, we have just had an MP3 stream. Since time moves on, no matter for what, we have now added an AAC stream and an HLS stream. I prefer the AAC stream at the moment since it seems to sound better than the MP3 stream. While that is subjective to a certain extent, that can be adjusted with bitrate processing. I enjoy your show very much as a longtime Ubuntu and Mint user. Happy holidays. Pierre in Kotzebue, Alaska. I probably butchered the name of the place you're in, Pierre, so I apologize for that. But good to know we've got a listener in Alaska.
You actually got a. I think you did a much. You would have done. You did a much better job than I would have, because I'd have murdered that just by looking at it. But I have to agree with Pierre on a thing. On the thing, I don't know if he if it is subjective, but I do think an ACC format sounds better than MP3. It just seems clearer to me. But that could be just again. It could be a bit rate issue, but I remember back in the day when I was comparing the AAC, when I was converting things to the AAC and MP3 and all that, I didn't use Opus. I think Opus sounds good too, but AAC sounded, I thought if I had a lower bit rate, sounded as good or better than some of the MP3s at higher. So that's just me.
Well, and we could increase the bitrate on the MP3 files that we have, and that would improve the sound for sure. MP3 tends to be compressed quite a bit as a format. AAC isn't as compressed and certainly has better sound. But the problem with increasing the bitrate on the MP3 files is the files themselves get larger. We started with some low, very low bitrate streams available, like 64 kilobit streams, and they sounded pretty bad. But the reason that we had those is for people who did not have good internet, and downloading a small 64 kilobit MP3 file was much better than even the 96 kilobits that were used today. Now, we could up it to 192, I think it is, something like that.
120.
And we might try that. No, I don't think so. Not in MP3.
Oh, okay.
But I think we'll keep that in the back pocket for maybe a way of improving the sound quality overall in the future. I don't think there are as many people with very low signal strength available to them in either Wi-Fi or a wireless signal for phones or however they get their internet. It's not as much of a problem, but I do know we have some people who still ask for smaller files because it takes a long time for slow internet to download a big file. So, something that we keep in mind as we continue to try to improve our podcast.
Yeah, so that's actually a good idea. So, our next one has another recommendation. It's from Kenneth, who provided feedback regarding an alternate feed. And he wrote, "Hello, Bill and Larry. I would go with Opus. MP3 has a dark past, and just because it's open source now, it doesn't make it fine. Opus is both open source, royalty-free, and if you go with 32 kbps bitrate, the size will be extremely small, and for a podcast, it should be fine. That would use less storage and less bandwidth. MP3 is very old, and as X11 should be retired." And he has kind regards, Kenneth. So. Yeah, that's something. I think Opus sounds good, but I don't know if it's. Do you know if Opus is built into most cell phones, Larry? Because I don't. I know it's probably built into Androids.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't checked. I can't imagine. Well, I can't imagine. I guess that Apple wouldn't support one of the more popular formats, just because they're Apple. Mm-hmm. But I haven't checked. So maybe somebody in our audience knows.
One of the things, the reason that we stick with MP3 is because it is universally available from the from almost every. I don't think there is a one operating system, Windows, Mac, Linux, Unix, or Apple iPhone or Android. I believe everybody, I've never heard of none of those not supporting MP3. So MP3 is it's kind of the de facto standard, even though it is old. Every device in some way, shape, or form supports it.
Yeah, maybe MP3 is old and has a dark past, but so is Batman, and people kind of like that. Anyway, moving on. Stefan has some thoughts on our latest listener feedback. "Hello, Larry. My answer to the second feed, MP3 or other? I can live with MP3, but living the OSS idea, I would vote for an OSS format such as FLAC or Opus and not a container format like OGG. Website hosting, I do host my website at netcup.com. It's a German company, but they have also a location in the US. They have IPv4 and IPv6. All traffic is included. Let's Encrypt for SSL is included. Just have a look. User map, Have you ever thought about a map that shows the listeners of your podcast on a map? I can create such a map using OpenStreetMap. I just need the names of the town, countries of listeners that want to be on the map. Let me know if you find this useful. I have some ideas how we can manage it. Well, that's an interesting idea, Stefan.
That's actually a good idea.
Yeah, I can probably go through the past feedback, and for those people who provide where they are, I can get a list from that. I might also be able to look at the web stats and find out where we've got the most listeners and kind of match those up as kind of a quality check as to, because downloads we get are not from actual listeners or from bots and those kinds of things, and who knows where the heck they are.
Wouldn't it be easier just to maybe just do the like state or country? That way you don't have to worry about the town. I don't know if you can do that, but you know, that might work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I had in mind. For large countries like the United States or others that are pretty big, Canada, Australia, it might be better to go with state. So for the European countries, the country itself is probably fine since many of those are about the size of a U.S. state. So, yeah, I like the idea, Stefan. So maybe I'll send you a list and we can talk about it. All right. Shall we move on?
Of course. So Kenneth sent us another one and he said he's offering free hosting. He says, "Hello, Larry. I enjoy your podcast and I would love to support your project with free hosting on one of my machines. Connection 1 gigabit, so it's good and has IPv4 and IPv6 support." And he writes, "Kind regards, Kenneth."
Okay. Yeah, I am of two minds on that. For some of the same reasons that I don't want to host my own, I'd rather have a company behind it. And I know some of these small hosting companies are just one person hosting it on their own machine. So I really don't want to go with too small an installation, if you will. So, I have to think about that a bit. However, thank you very much for the offer.
That is very nice.
And if I do decide to have somebody host it for me on their own machine, I'll definitely get back in touch with you.
All right.
Okay. Moving on to Gus. Gus has feedback on our web host. We got lots of feedback, as I said, on this. "Hello, Bill and Larry. I highly recommend Hetzner, I've heard of them, for site hosting. I recommended them in a previous email as a Dropbox replacement, but you can get VPS hosting with servers all over the place. It's like $4 a month for the most basic plan. I would guess probably sufficient for your traffic and the weight of the website. You get full control of the box. It has options for Ubuntu Server, Debian, and a bunch of other options using RPM-based ones like Rocky or Alma. Getting a site up and running with Apache or Nginx with Certbot for Let's Encrypt, SSL, is really simple. Or you can use the newer server, Caddy, which handles SSL certs automatically. Maybe a bit more work than a managed host, but it's worth it for control, in my opinion. Thanks, Gus." Yeah, I'll look into Hetzner again.
That's actually, that's not bad, $4 a month.
Thanks for the suggestion, Gus.
Yeah, thanks, Gus. So Frank commented on the audio format, and it's right to the point. He says, "I'm okay with MP3. Thanks, Frank.
Oh, another vote for MP3. Yeah, thanks. Okay, Joe commented on Discord. "I enjoy the podcast, and I am returning after several-year hiatus. Episode 473 discusses the Discord server, which I was hoping to access. The link from the website goes to MeWe rather than Discord, so I tried typing community.goinglinux.com, as Larry mentioned in the episode. This does take me to Discord, but says the link is invalid or expired. I've tried searching with no luck. Please update the links or provide clarity. I recently set up a dual boot with Ubuntu after my Win10 machine lost support. I've saved all my stuff to an external drive and will keep dual booting for a year before finally giving it the boot. I had issues installing Mint 22.2 as it would not allow placing the bootloader on the same partition as the Windows Boot Manager. I'll try again as I seem to like Mint much better. Either way, Linux is so much faster than Windows 10, for which I'm grateful. Thanks, Joe. Okay, yeah, the link on the website I had forgotten to update. It's updated now. Thank you. It no longer goes to MeWe, and it does go to Discord. And what it's supposed to do, both the community.goinglinux.com as well as the direct link, it should, if you're not already a member of our Discord channel, it should give you the option of joining the Discord channel. And when I first tried to do that, I noticed that there was a problem with this link is invalid or expired, but I thought I had resolved that. When I go to the link, it takes me directly to Discord. If I use a computer that is not already subscribed to our channel on Discord, the link does take me to the invitation. I don't know whether those invites expire anymore. I'll have to check it out again. It's been a while since I checked. And that may be something that I have to do on a regular basis, is replace that link every now and again. Bit of a pain, but we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, I will send you, Joe, a link to Discord, our Discord channel, so that you can get connected.
Okay. So, yeah, that's... I'll check on... I didn't think they expired anymore. I know they used to.
I didn't think so either. Yeah, they did.
But I'll look into it also, because I use Discord for other stuff too. And okay. I'll see if it's something we have to do. I have a private Discord channel for some of my gaming friends, and we send people the links all the time, and they get in without any problem. It's probably a year old, so.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay, we'll look into it. So our next email come from David, who provides another link saying maybe this one. He says, "Hi guys, the last two articles I sent you that were gleaned from my Google alerts struck out, but maybe this one isn't clickbait and maybe worth some discussing." And he provides the link and says, I think it says, makeuseof.com/links won't run on every laptop. Check these before you buy. So I guess it's a article on about which laptops run Linux. So it's the link's in the show notes, and I haven't looked at it yet. So I will definitely take a look at it and see what it says. And he writes, "If not, then I guess three strikes and I'm out. Nevertheless, it may be worth referencing to the sites that list Linux compatible laptops that he recommends in the last paragraph. Bestest, David, official Going Linux expat Canadian minion." I think his title needs another descriptor here. You know, he's
needs to be longer. Yeah, I think we've talked about that.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Larry. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so I did take a look at the article, and it is not as clickbaity as some of the others are. It does give some good information, and there's some video links in there and links to other things about what to be cautious about when trying to run Linux on a computer that wasn't designed originally for Linux. But he does give some good links on where to buy computers designed to run Linux, like Ubuntu certified hardware list. There's a Fedora Red Hat certified list, a Lenovo Linux program list from Lenovo of their computers that they sell with Linux, as well as laptops with better privacy settings than Windows Link. So all of those are at the bottom of that article just before the comments. The only thing I will mention to you is that there is a pop-up video that keeps playing. And even if you stop it, it starts playing again automatically. At least they don't have the audio running. So not as clickbaity, but still annoying. Thank you, make use of. But a valuable, valuable article nonetheless. So thank you, David. Appreciate it. All right. Gus provided another comment on audio production on Linux. Hello, Bill and Larry. Long time ago, I sent an email saying I'd write up or record something on my music/audio production workflow on Linux and never got around to it. It was probably a good thing in a way because pretty much everything I use or would have recommended at the time has completely changed. Things have gotten a lot easier, more professional. There's been a lot less fragmentation and the experience is a lot more approachable for a somewhat newcomer. I'm going to try to break down the main comments of what someone might need to record audio with a focus on music production. All my knowledge has been years of trial and error working in Linux the whole time. My band, Billy Cheesesteak, has produced all of our music exclusively on Linux, and he provides a link to his band website on Bandcamp, and we'll include that link. Audio interface and MIDI controllers. Most audio interfaces, what you use to record an audio, either microphone or direct-in instruments like electric guitar, and MIDI controllers, keyboards, drum pads, etc. Most of these interfaces I've tried that are either USB or FireWire with a $12 FireWire card added to my PC are out of the box compatible with Linux, with little or no configuration needed. Look up Interfacing Linux on YouTube. Great series on setting up a variety of interfaces. Operating system. This one's easy. Use whatever you want. I use Ubuntu Mate 2024 LTS, but any modern distro should work. I used to not recommend Ubuntu Studio because it came with a lot of bloat, but they seem to have cleaned out a lot of the duplicate software and made some editorial decisions. For example, Kden Live rather than five different semi-functioning video editors. No more kitchen sink approach. It used to matter if the distro offered a real-time or low-latency kernel, but nowadays these features can be turned on or off by editing a config rather than installing and compiling a totally different kernel.
All right, Gus continues, a digital audio workstation, or DAW. This is the main piece of software you'll be using for recording real instruments and MIDI, as well as editing, mixing, and mastering music. Audor is great, free, and open source, and comes in many repositories, but it is also finicky with certain things like editing MIDI, in my opinion. Z Rhythm is an up and coming open source option which has a lot of promise. I use Reaper, which is not free or open source, but for hobbyists and small time musicians making less than $20,000 a year from music, it's a one time $60 purchase that you won't regret and will get you updates for a number of years. It works better for my workflow personally, is incredibly customizable, and has a great community of people writing custom free scripts and plugins for it. The main developer is the guy behind Windamp, and he knows his stuff. Besides these two, there are Bitwig Studio, Trekatum, Waveform, Renoise, PreSonus Studio One. I think this is still in beta for Linux and more. All are competent professional digital audio workstations, but I suggest trying a few, picking one and sticking with it. He writes, plugins. There's ton of free paid audio effect, virtual instrument, and other plugins available for Linux or that work well under Wine. I use Amix. Many plugins installable through the Ubuntu repos, stock plugins that come with Reaper, and other free Linux compatible plugins available online. I also have several I have purchased or downloaded that are window only but work with a combination of Wine and a plugin bridge compatibility layer called YaBridge. You'll absolutely do not need to pay for plugins. I didn't for years, but the option is nice. And then another one, he says, tutorials. There are a ton of music production tutorials, both on Linux and more generally UNFA. I think that's how it's pronounced. UNFA has some good Linux-specific ones, and there's a whole world of Reaper tutorials, as well as for most commercial DAW options. He says, talent, just run sudo apt and never mind. He said, thanks for a great show. Hope this is useful, Gus. Hey, Gus, thanks a lot. And I've heard about Reaper. Everybody kind of says Reaper is kind of like the gold standard for Linux DAWs.
Yeah, I've heard about it as well. And Audacity does just fine for us, with the exception of trying to
make me sound more bass.
Yeah, bassy, yeah. So, we'll stick with Audacity for now. I've considered switching to something else, but always come back to Audacity after getting all those finicky things that Gus was telling us about. Anyway, so I guess with that from Gus, we wrapped up for our episode this time.
Yeah, I appreciate all the feedback from everybody.
Yeah. And I think the feedback we've been getting is, you know, with that one exception, one-liner, has been getting longer and longer. And that's not a bad thing.
It's a good thing.
It's good. You take the time to explain things and give us your opinions and elaborate. So that's good. We appreciate that. And thanks. So, as we move into our new year, we will get another Using Linux to Get Things Done episode. And until then, you can go to our website at goinglinux.com for articles and show notes, as well as links to download and subscribe. We provide the website for computer users who just want to use Linux to get things done.
And if you'd like, you can participate directly with our friendly and helpful community members by joining the discussion in our Going Linux community podcast on community.goinglinux.com.
Until next time, thanks for listening.
73.